Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Brian has come around. It's a busy show on this Monday. We'll get some Astros here in a little bit. They open up a series, Joe, with the Los Angeles Dodgers today.
That they do.
Los Angeles Dodgers of Los Angeles. Yamamoto's on the mound for the Astros. Steven Okert gets to start for the Astros.
Okay.
One of the oddest pitching matchups you're going to see. We'll
advantage
get to the
Astros.
By what means here?
Sarcasm.
Ah.
Is Yamamoto homesick? Is that a problem for him?
No.
Unfortunately.
No. He's comfortable in America. Remember Josh Reddick said it was a bad contract?
About Yamamoto?
Yeah.
He was wrong.
Yeah. You know what was a bad contract for a Japanese pitcher?
Tatsuya Imai.
Yeah, Imai.
Yeah.
Imai was a bad contract, it looks like. Although there's still time to fix some things. We'll get to some Astros a little bit later. Good, bad, ugly. We'll touch on the Houston Texans. Cal spoke today, which is cool. Cal McNair had a word or two. So we'll get to some Cal McNair stuff.
Never quit.
I like it when Cal speaks on a Monday because it really starts my week in a really positive direction.
It's the right way to start a week.
Gets me going.
From Cal McNair.
Mm-hmm. Gets me going. We'll tip our cap to some things a little bit later. NFL executives and what they think that C.J. Stroud and the Texans should do. We are on a couple of soccer matches today for our sweats of the day.
Mm-hmm.
We're on Man City -1 against Everton. They are 1-0 lead, 1-0 lead, Manchester City, on the road in Hill Dickinson Stadium.
Okay.
So that one, we'll see how that goes. And then we have two bets in La Liga's matchup between Sevilla and Real Sociedad, which that one is 0-0 at the half at Ramon Sanchez Pizjuan Stadium in Sevilla, Spain. We're also
who
on
the
over.
Is that guy?
I don't know. I'm not really sure who that is. We should probably know that, though. We're on the over there, 2.5 goals, too. So we need Sociedad to win, and then we also need some goals in that match.
Yeah, we do. We need a lot, but we got half a game left.
Let me ask ChatGPT who our good friend Ramon Sanchez Pizjuan is. He was a prominent He was a prominent Spanish football administrator, best known for his long association with Sevilla FC. Served as the club president for several periods between 1932 and 1956.
Okay.
Credited with helping to modernize and stabilize Sevilla FC. There you go. The more you know with Jeremy and Joe.
A stadium named after a club president. Interesting.
Yeah.
We would never see that here.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get James Click Stadium anytime soon.
No.
I don't think we're going to get Jack Easterby Stadium.
Definitely
anytime
not.
Soon.
One
I don't
fish,
think...
two fish, red fish, blue fish.
You hear that as you walk through the gates of
shout
Jack
out to the
Easterby
Stadium.
who was the rocket guy? Thad Brown?
Oh, Tad Brown?
Tad Brown? Yeah. I don't know why it added an H to it, but Tad Brown? Tad Brown. Tad Brown Arena.
Rafael Stone Center.
Of all the people we've named, though, I think Tad Brown would be the most likely.
Of those three.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
James Click won a World Series.
Yeah, but wasn't.
I'm talking about ego more so.
It wasn't what?
They weren't like really all his guys. Still kind of the Luno team.
He rebuilt the bullpen in that team.
Yeah, but still give Luno.
Traded for Dubon.
I still give Luno full credit for that.
Dude,
How could you possibly give Click credit for
he
Dubon?
He builds everything.
Or Luno credit for Dubon.
Not for Dubon, but for the rest of the team outside the bullpen and Dubon.
Okay.
That's still a Luno squad.
Yeah, it's his roster build. You know, Click had his little sprinkles on top of it. But anyways, we start with the Rockets. Rockets were eliminated. It feels like an eternity to go. No, we're not doing Rocket Power. Season's over.
We got one more.
Well, I'm not doing Rocket Power because the season's over.
You guys got to do one more?
Yeah, we're going to do one more.
Oof. Season recap.
Yeah.
What
do you mean, oof?
Those are
the best
like
ones.
Joe, but I won't be listening.
First episodes of the offseason are the best episodes.
Yeah. Who are we trading for? Who are we firing?
Why are you poo-pooing on that?
That's like it's the best episode of the season.
In fact, we're leading our show with that,
yes.
Brian. And you led our show with that.
That's a fair point.
You built the rundown with the lead topic that you're crapping on right now.
Hold on. To be fair, it is Monday. Joe's going to do a show on Friday.
It's still the off-season.
Same show.
The lottery's not even until Sunday.
Like, yeah, I know.
The lottery's already Sunday?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I did not mean to take this a direction of crapping on our own shows, but the same content 5 days later is it's a little different.
Hey.
It's the same for the Rockets, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Hey, Brian, you doing a bullpen show this weekend?
It's the same for the Rockets.
I am actually not.
Oh, that's right. You're off this weekend.
But the story doesn't change with the Rockets. Like, it'd be different doing Astros today and then doing Astros on Friday night. But the Rockets conversation's the same today as it will be on Friday night.
Yeah, we could record it tomorrow. Nothing's going to change.
Isn't that off season, kind of the point? No, I don't think so. Because the off season
was my point.
Well, the off season, you're always waiting with bated breath. You know, people are always clamoring for good off season talk. Everybody likes to be off season. Everybody likes to be fantasy general manager. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't. I disagree with you, Brian. Strongly disagree.
I strongly disagree with myself also for the sake of not calling out our own shows.
Well, you did already.
I know. I can't take it back.
Yeah. You can't put the toothpaste back through the tube.
I guess that means we can't talk Rockets offseason until something happens after today either.
Yeah. Brian,
we're done with – this is all the Rockets offseason content you get right now.
Brian the Brain says that. Actually,
I'm just in a bad mood from Friday.
That's not a Brian the Brain take. That's a Buzzkill Brian take.
Yeah.
Is what that was. The wet blanket, Brian McDonald. Yeah, what'd you think about that game on Friday, huh? Huh?
They can't shoot, man. It was atrocious. The 18% from three.
Yeah.
5 for 28.
They need Scotty Brooks. Who are some obscure Rocket 3-point shooters that would have helped on Friday night?
Matt Bullard.
Scott Padgett.
Yeah.
Bob Sura.
John Barry.
Anybody from the White Boy crew? What do they call them? The White Boy Super Crew, I think it was?
Yeah, John Barry and Bob Sura.
There was another one, I think. Might have been Padgett.
No, it was they had that Ryan Anderson, was it right?
Oh, it was Ryan Anderson.
Yeah, yeah.
He would have helped.
He definitely would have helped.
He would have given him
and
a
your defense
shooting.
Was pretty bad, so it's not like it would hurt you with him out there.
Eddie Johnson.
Fine.
Eddie Johnson would have helped you. Eddie Johnson's no longer with us.
I'll double check. I think so.
I'm pretty sure he's the color commentator for the Suns.
Yeah, man.
Maybe there's another Eddie Johnson that passed.
Brian.
Not my best segment.
Brian, he's very alive.
He's trying to bury him. Why are you trying to bury Eddie Johnson like that?
Like he buried the Jazz in game 5 before John Stockton buried him.
He's killing Eddie Johnson. That's ridiculous. No, but the shooting was poor. Shooting was as bad in that game as Brian's takes in this first segment.
I mean, he just killed the guy.
Well, there is an NBA player named Eddie Johnson that actually died, so I guess I confused the two.
Okay, that's fair.
I guess I confused the two.
Who was the other Eddie Johnson? I don't think you know who the other Eddie Johnson is.
Well, I'm looking at it. He died 6 years ago. It was a 2-time All-Star with the Hawks.
When?
I just said 6 years
no,
ago.
No, when was he an All-Star?
I don't know.
I don't know if you actually know this guy.
1980, 1981.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this guy.
I didn't say it did. I just said I remember hearing the headline. I'm not sure that you did. You don't think I heard the headline? Why would I reference it?
To cover yourself up here a little bit.
No. I remember seeing the headline, and I did zero investigation as to if it was the Rockets
We do honor code here. We believe in the honor code around here. So we'll take your word for it.
It's just all bad, Brandon.
It's all bad, Branham. Yeah. Shooting was bad.
I mean,
offense was bad. Everything was bad.
It was just like, it was disjointed. It was.
They played defense, all right. They held the Lakers to 101 points.
Yeah. The fact that, so what, in the four games they lost, they held them to 101, 107, 112, 98. Like, the defense was good enough, really, in the four games they lost. Like, it could have been better, and I'm sure Ime would say that and has said that. But the shooting performances in game 1, 2, and then 6 were just abysmal. And this one, scoring 78 points in a playoff game, it's just sad. It was a sad way for the season to end. I didn't want to watch it as it was happening.
Did you sit all the way through it? Did you force yourself?
Probably tapped out like halfway through the fourth.
Really? I watched the whole thing.
I was just like, this thing's over.
I'm a dog. I watched the whole sporting event as I laid down on my couch.
I know what we're talking about on Monday. This game's over.
I mean, we're not going to talk much about the specific game.
Yeah.
They shot bad. They have terrible creators. They had no, you know, no way to get offense. You know what I felt I was laughing about during the game? Remember I had the tweet like, oh, do you want Kevin Durant back if the series goes 7? Just a hypothetical.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, no. How do you watch that game and be like, yeah, I don't want Kevin Durant?
I don't know. I saw you tweet that during the game. And I was like, it's when we talked about on Friday, I said it didn't make any sense of people who said they didn't want KD back. Like, he's Kevin Durant. Like maybe you still lose this game 98-84 because of how bad it went, but you needed Kevin Durant out there in this game because no one can score. Like Reed was terrible. Jabari wasn't good. Tari, every one of them. Like, Amen's the only one that shot 50% or better. So, season's over. RIP to the Rockets.
Oh, well, it's off-season time now.
It is off-season time now.
No offensive creativity, no shooting, terrible. Junkie says Robert Horry, Vernon Maxwell. They could have helped you. Yeah, they would have helped you. Kenny Smith, Sam Cassell. Who else from the championship team? Yeah. Anybody could have helped you there. Tracy Murray could have helped you there. Tracy Murray, the obscure name in the Clyde Drexler trade.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, he was in the. He came back from Portland in the Clyde Drexler trade.
Trevor Ariza?
Sure.
Eric Gordon?
Trevor Ariza's not a fantastic shooter, but he could have helped you.
I don't know if I could say anyone that played in the 0 for 27 game from 3, though.
I think it would have helped.
I guess.
I think that would have helped. They're better than Darian Finamis.
Okay, that's true. I'll concede that one.
Thank you.
Aaron Brooks?
Does Kevin Martin count? Sure. Kevin Martin would give you an empty 20. This team needed an empty 20.
Aaron Brooks is a good one.
Yeah. Aaron Brooks was awesome.
Luther Head?
Luther Head, yes.
He could hit some threes.
Yeah. What was Craig Ackerman's nickname for Vaughn Wafer?
He's not a cracker, he's a wafer.
No, I think
like
he said, he's not a cookie, he's not a cracker, he's a Vaughn Wafer.
That's right. There you go.
That's so good. That's I love great. Vaughn Wafer because Craig Ackerman's nickname for Vaughn Wafer. He's not a cookie, he's not a cracker, he's a Vaughn, and he really wasn't a cracker. He was a good 3-point shooter that would have helped you.
Oh, there's
Jason Terry.
Jet, old school Jet.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could have helped you.
Anybody
out a little bit.
From the headband of brothers that was in game 6, Corey Brewer.
Corey Brewer would help.
Josh Smith.
Jalen Green might have helped last night or on Friday night.
Oh, sure. Absolutely, like, sure. Yeah, he would have helped you a little bit. Not,
he might have also gone 1-for-10, like Reed.
He could have done that.
But he could have gone.
Oh, Reed was terrible. Reed was so bad.
Oh.
See, this is my thing with Reed, man. Like, how do you watch Reed every single game and you're like, yeah, this guy is the next Steve Nash? What? Like, people have comped him to Steve Nash halfway through this year. He plays nothing like Steve Nash. He doesn't have the vision of Steve Nash. He might be able to make, like, a cross-court pass, but when is Reed Sheppard cutting somebody up, driving to the lane, drawing a defender, and making, like, an elite pass? Almost never.
I not to go too hyperbolic, Collins. Reed Sheppard might make more mistakes in a game than, like, Steve Nash would in his entire career with some of the bad passes he makes.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, there's just things he does, like, Steve Nash probably did 2 or 3 times in his entire career.
I don't think Reed Sheppard's a point guard.
No, he's
people
not.
People are out here comping him to a 2-time MVP point guard. It's ridiculous.
Have you updated what the Rockets' record would be with Reed Sheppard in the playoffs? Their 82-game record?
No, it was a funny joke whenever the Rockets were still playing basketball. But now it's a mean joke now that they're done for the year. He's not a point guard. Like, how many times does he, like, try to get by his defender because he's pressured and panics, and he just drives down the right side of the lane and heaves up a prayer?
Every
so
time?
So many times.
It almost feels like every possession. Now, part of that's because I think the guys still just have no idea what they're doing around him. They're just standing there. Like, he has nowhere really to go with the basketball, but he panics in that moment.
Yeah. He's an off-ball guard. He's not a point guard, which, he's kind of small for that position. All that, whatever. It's only his second year, though. He's still very young. He's got potential. Just people need to kind of tamper their expectation a little bit. People are comparing him to Steve Nash and Steph Curry. Come on.
Let's get to, like, Seth Curry first and then go from there.
Like, I just give me Mark Price,
Sure.
Like, give me that guy. But he wasn't very good in the game. Very, very young, though. I'm not giving up on Reed Sheppard by any stretch of the imagination, but some of your expectations for the guy are a little bit crazy. Steve Novak, Bonzi Wells, not a great 3-point shooter, but would have scored you some. Troy Daniels, yeah, he was a sharpshooter, Troy Daniels. Francisco Garcia, I remember him. Remember out of Louisville, the lefty. Chase Budinger, Olympic beach volleyball player.
He is.
Omri Caspi, maybe a little bit. Would you be happy if Reed Sheppard shoots as well as Ketino Mobley? Heck yeah, I would be. Ketino Mobley was awesome. Key from LA says, "Don't poke the bear." Come on, these guys are pros. I don't think the Lakers are sitting there in their locker room like, "Oh my goodness, Jabari Smith said they're better than us. Now we're really going to try." Yeah, Jabari said they're the better team. You know what we're going to do? We're going to try now.
By the way, he sent the same text on Saturday.
Did he?
Yeah, he's running back the same material.
Plus, the Rockets won the next game. Like, the Rockets won the next game after Jabari said that. So if you're going to go with, like, the poke the bear, like, one, I'm never going to believe it. But if it's going to be more believable than less believable, it'd be the very next game at home, not a cross-country flight to Houston 2 games later.
LeBron James is on that team. He doesn't need to be poked to show up in a big game. He's LeBron. Like, what does it matter? Goal.
Who
I don't know. Side?
Oh, is that Sociedad? No, it's not.
Damn.
It's not Sociedad. It's Sevilla, the home team. Ah, that's not good. Clyde the Glide shot 32% for his career behind the three-point line. That's good.
Brian's laughing.
I don't know why you just kind of going Tourette and going, goal! In the middle of Jeremy talking.
Because we need goals.
He does it all the time.
We need goals. We need goals, Brian.
But
we're
not that
goals.
One, though, right?
Well, we're on the money line, Sociedad. We're on the over 2.5. But Sociedad winning the money line would be better because we have plus 195 there. The over 2.5 is minus 105.
See, now they're going to get 2 goals.
That would be the nuts.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, maybe that's what they needed. Maybe that was them poking the bear.
Poked the bear.
You know, that's what happened.
They poked the bear.
The Sevilla goal.
Yeah, now the game's on.
Poked the Real Sociedad bear. 713-780-ESPN. A junkie says Sevilla
junkie?
Is how it's pronounced. Almost like Savoia. Sevilla. There you go. Sevilla. The more you know with Jeremy and Joe.
The more you know.
I visited Sevilla this last September. Wonderful city, says that. Look at that flex. I have the means to go to Sevilla. Did you go watch some football? Did you eat some great Spanish cuisine and the Spanish wine? You know, the wine there is a little drier than most countries.
Yeah, of course, everyone knows that.
Yeah.
Good to know.
I just bluffed.
Okay.
I was just seeing if how many people I could bluff with that.
So
I think Brian was on with the joke.
Yeah.
I think I bluffed Joe, though. I think I got him.
You bluffed me.
I think I got him with the bluff, the old bluff. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What now for the Houston Rockets now that their season is done? Their season is complete. Their season is over, Joe. It is over. Their season is toast. What do they do now? There are some quotes from Rafael Stone. They had some exit meetings over there, over at Toyota Center. We'll see what he has to say about the season as well. Lots to get to. Astros, good, bad, ugly. We got our sweats going on. We'll tip the cap, talk a little football as well, and then we'll see where the day takes us. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. TikTok, ESPN975. Twitter, ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. You know we love you. We love you, the listener. And sometimes we like to give back because we have good hearts and we want to take care of you. That's why you need OwnWell in your life. OwnWell, you know what OwnWell does for you? They're going to save you money on property taxes. It is property tax assessment season, as you've probably noticed. Assessment letters are arriving from the county. You hate that, don't you? And just because your bill stayed the same, by the way, doesn't mean it's right. The market has shifted. There's still a good chance you're paying more than you should. That's why you need OwnWell on your side to help fight these property taxes. You don't want to do it for a variety of different reasons, right? Maybe you have to hire a lawyer. Maybe you have to go down to the courthouse. You don't have time for that. The long waits, the inconsistent appraisers, confusing rules. You know what OwnWell does for a living? They fight thousands of these, hundreds of thousands of these. 500,000 Texans, in fact, have used OwnWell. So you know what OwnWell is really good at? Saving you money on your property taxes. And all you need to do is go to OwnWell.com, fill out a little bit of information, and then they're going to be in your corner just like that. And here's the cool part. You owe nothing up front. You owe $0 at the very beginning. You only pay if you save. If OwnWell saves you money, then that's when you pay. So if they save you $0, that doesn't happen very often, you don't have to pay anything. Risk-free, $0 up front. You are going to love it. Harris County, 21 to 51% higher savings than their competitors. How about in Montgomery County? Homes 250 to 500K range. OwnWell had a success rate of 94%. Their competitors, 81%. You can see why OwnWell is the very best. Do not wait. Deadline to protest is May 15th for most counties. Save money on your property taxes with OwnWell. Sign up in 3 minutes at OwnWell.com. That's OwnWell.com. Let them know Branham sent you when you complete your sign up at OwnWell.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
great day. May 4th. May the 4th be with you.
Thank you, Joe.
To all, who celebrate.
What do you call these nerds? Trekkies?
No, that'd be the other one.
I hate this movie. This movie so much. I knew this was coming.
You know, I was thinking today.
Knew it was coming.
I think I want to find our next bet.
Hope you didn't hurt yourself.
I don't know what I'm going to have to give up, but one of our next big bets we do on the show.
For me to watch Star Wars?
The original three.
You're going to give me a gummy for that.
Sober.
That could be arranged.
I just don't know what the other side of the bet is, so I'll let you take it from there. You can think of it.
Maybe you have to watch Summer House.
Oh, how long? That's not a bad thing.
Yes, it is.
He would be immersed with entertainment.
You're wrong. Star Wars is incredible.
He would be hooked in Summer House in 2 minutes.
So you're asking how long?
The storylines, the drama.
It's about seven hours.
It's transcendent, Summer House.
Something equivalent
to seven hours?
Yeah. I'm ballparking there. I think they're all just north of two.
Oh, no chance. I would never agree to that bet.
Yeah, you just got to come up with something on the
No,
the
I know. I'm not agreeing to that bet. There's nothing that I would enjoy you doing for 7 hours that it would equate to my disdain for seven hours.
We could settle for one movie.
Okay.
2 hours.
That's doable.
You have to give a review the next day.
Yeah, I can already give you the review. The review's not the problem. The review's pretty easy. Sucks!
Thank you for spelling it out, Bret Hart.
I think you like it.
No
chance.
No, I tried.
Which one? You don't know which one you want.
I'll make you watch a game of cricket.
Deal.
Sure.
What do you mean, sure? You've never watched a game of cricket in your life.
Yeah, but I'd be willing to do that.
Yeah, I'll agree to that bet.
No, I'm not. We don't know what we're betting.
Well, I know.
It's going to be very difficult. I'm going to have to be convinced I'm getting the right side of the bet for me to put that at stake. I'd rather go to the dentist.
What?
I think we need a live stream of you watching this.
Yes.
How do people like this?
They're great.
Well, the people or the movies?
The movies are great.
No chance.
Some of them are great.
The original three are great.
No chance.
They are.
Do any of y'all actually like Star Wars? Or y'all just pretend to like Star Wars?
They're
like, I want to be a nerd today. I'm going to pretend like I like Star Wars.
No.
May the Force be with you.
I like half the movies.
We have one of the worst days of the year right before one of the greatest days of the year.
They go great together.
And I'm Mexican.
No, they don't. There's not a single Mexican in the world that likes Star Wars.
That's true. Not true.
I'm pretty certain.
You're wrong. BS flag.
I don't know.
Brian says he knows a couple.
Yeah.
I don't know that you do.
Brad in our fantasy league.
His name's Brad? He's not Mexican.
he's like Brad? You. He's half. He's Brad Gonzalez.
My name's Jeremias. So. Brad. What's his last name?
Gonzalez.
Yeah. That's a little bit more Mexican.
Yeah.
You probably should have led with that, Brian. Shouldn't have led with Brad.
He's half. His dad's Mexican. His mom's white.
Yeah, I'm the other way. Sounds like sour grapes. Sour grapes to what? How is that sour grapes? Sour grapes would be like I'm being a poor sport. Like I'm being a sore loser. This isn't sour grapes. The movie just sucks.
Disagree.
Junkie, I don't agree with Jeremy about much. Cool. But he's right about Star Wars. It sucks.
Wrong. Half of them do.
Somebody says fundraiser. What are we going to do, like a telethon? A Branham Star Wars telethon? I'd pay to watch him watch it? Well, how much you paying? Maybe I can get an OnlyFans for Star Wars.
Maybe we set
Branham OnlyFans?
Branham OnlyFans watching Star Wars for the first time ever.
Maybe we set a threshold. If we raise so much money for, I don't know, kids' meals, that's what the.
Oh, I like where we're going here, and every dollar amounts to another movie.
Yeah, exactly.
There's like nine movies.
I don't know that the incentive is there for me.
There's more than nine.
I like kids, but I don't like other people's kids.
You can pick your own charity.
I think we got, 11 movies?
Yeah.
Because they include Rogue One and Solo.
There's 11 movies?
Yeah, there's 11.
And the 12th one comes out like in a couple weeks.
Yeah. I'm going to see it opening weekend.
There's no way I'm doing this for charity. No chance. I'm way too selfish for that. If I'm going to do something where I'm miserable, it's not going to be for other people. That's not happening.
Jeremy hates children. You heard it
first. I don't hate children, but I don't love other people's children. Sorry about it.
Sorry, kids. You can't eat today. Jeremy won't watch Star Wars.
We can find something to make this work.
Somebody said yes, fundraiser. No soccer for me, just sightseeing and food with a friend and relocated away from USA. That's Zach talking about whenever he went to Sevilla. Looks like Sevilla may need to win this one to escape relegation. Y'all may be on the wrong side here. Well, we're currently on the wrong side of that. Thanks for that nugget before the match. Reed and Aaron Holiday trade for S. Okay, I'm not reading stupid trades. What position do you do first? Let's get to the Rocket stuff later. I got sidetracked. Okay, 1970, haha. Armani Brooks would help them from three, go Cougs. He would. How many Cougars would help the Rockets? Which, by the way, could have gotten some Rockets. Could have gotten some Cougars.
Yeah.
Traded a dude who retired. Traded a pick for a dude who retired. You know who went with the next pick?
Jamal Shedd.
Jamal Shedd. He's killing it for the Raptors.
He would have helped a lot.
Quentin Grimes would help.
He would have.
You know who I really want?
Kingston.
Kingston. I don't know how you can make it happen. I don't think you can. But if they could trade for a top seven pick, sign me up.
I think it's impossible.
I do.
You'd have to trade. It's
impossible?
You'd have to trade a young core. Like, you'd have to trade a men or
out. And then they would need cap space.
Yeah.
Because, like, what are you, how are you making the salaries match?
Yeah, you'd have,
like,
you'd have to trade Alpi or men for.
I think it's next to impossible. There's always a way.
Contract that a team doesn't want plus that pick.
See, I think.
Unless the Pacers are like, let's go win with Halliburton.
I was thinking, honestly, Atlanta.
Why? They just traded away their veterans.
Well, I mean, well, they made the playoffs this year.
Right, but they're still young. With a young core, they did that.
Well, yeah, but they have an extra lottery pick, so I just wonder.
Where is it going to land? I guess we wouldn't know until the lottery.
So they're slotted seventh right now.
They have two, you said.
So 7 and 23.
Oh, you said they had an extra lottery pick.
Yeah.
No, sorry, I meant they have an extra pick. First round.
Yeah, 23 doesn't matter.
But like they could.
Not really.
But like, could you trade for seven?
For what? I find it very difficult. I find the likelihood that they would trade pick seven for anything the Rockets could offer to be pretty low. Like if you could, I don't even know their veterans, but like, what would they want? Kevin Durant?
I was thinking if you want to like go all in, like trade Alpi.
It has to be Alpi or men to give a team like in the top five this year.
Or a team that wants a veteran and would be willing to and has contract and be like, yeah, like we need Durant to push.
Oh, Durant? Yeah, maybe.
Like, could Durant the Atlanta like what if sense. The Pacers lose the lottery and they finish? Because they would lose their pick because they traded their pick for that Clippers center. So theirs is like they have a top four protected pick.
Yeah.
If they don't land in the top four, it goes to L.A.
Yeah.
So that makes them less likely, actually, because they'd be less likely to trade that pick.
And I think they're going to keep it because they, like, yeah, they're getting Halliburton back, but
yeah.
What if he's not good?
Well, they traded for that center. Like, they wanted to pair him with, I mean, they think they can win next year.
Yeah.
But he looks very fat.
The center?
Halliburton.
Oh yeah.
But Halliburton's a little pudgy. He's starting to look a little bit like Branham.
He looked all right at WrestleMania.
Huh? Yeah, he'll lose it. It's all right. He'll be okay.
That's what I say. I don't lose it.
Yeah, but he's an NBA player. You're not.
Eh. I mean, I'm courtside a lot, making catches all over the place. You ever see me go after a loose ball?
Not really getting out of your seat.
One time I almost fell out of my seat, but that was about as close as I got. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener. How do any of y'all like Star Wars? Branham's more of a Star Trek guy. No, I'm not. I can name one actor, though, in Star Trek, the old guy.
You haven't named him yet.
Yeah, for blinking.
BS flag.
It's what's his name? He's the old guy who's like friends with that other guy.
Are you thinking about X-Men?
No. I'm thinking of the Star Trek.
The
old
same
Star
actor where he's friends with Magneto.
No, it's the old Star Trek guy.
Oh, you're talking okay, Star Trek. My bad.
What's his name? He's the old dude. He's like 90 now.
Patrick Stewart?
No.
I'm not a Star Trek guy.
Patrick Stewart was like the original.
The popular guy.
William Shatner.
Yes, Shatner.
Okay,
I'm thinking of Shatner.
Okay.
How do you not go Shatner there?
Well, they're both famous for being like the lead of a different Star Trek
show. Who did you say?
Patrick Stewart.
Is he more famous than Shatner? I've never heard of Patrick Stewart.
Very famous. Well, Shatner's definitely more famous.
No. Oh, is Patrick Stewart the weird-looking dude?
He's bald.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's pretty famous too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I put Shatner one.
I would too.
Stewart's probably bigger for the show though, right? Shatner's probably more famous, just period, but Stewart's probably a bigger factor of the show.
Stewart's more in the nerd realm, because then he's an X-Men after that.
I do know Patrick Stewart. I didn't know he was an X-Men.
When I think of Star Trek, I think of Chris Pine. I think of the new Star Trek movies.
You're a baby.
What a Joe take.
These shows are so bad. How do y'all watch these shows?
They're not bad.
I don't watch Star Trek, to be fair.
You guys need some Bravo in y'all's life. Set you right. Set you straight real quick. It depends on the show, actually. But set you straight real quick if you pick the right show on Bravo.
I'd rather watch Star Wars and Scandoval.
Scandoval was that was the hit of the summer of 2025.
You ever rewatch those?
Rewatch what?
Like Vanderpump?
I don't rewatch really anything.
Dana's rewatching Vanderpump right now. I'm like, why are you doing this? You know what happens?
Yeah, it's kind of odd.
I'm like, she's just bored.
I mean, you can say the same thing about us rewatching a show or movie, though. We know
I really don't
happen.
Do that.
I know. I'm just saying, like, people do that.
The only thing that I'll rewatch are sitcoms.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of like. I've rewatched, another nerd, Game of Thrones. I just feel like reality TV is different. Like, I don't rewatch reality TV.
I don't rewatch anything.
That.
Like,
I find it to be a giant waste of time, quite frankly.
Like, you know what happens.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just not, I don't know, it's so different.
The only time I'll do is, like, if I'm in a hotel and, like, there's nothing else on. That's like, fine. Okay, I'll turn this on. Or if there's, like, I'm doing work or something.
Sure.
You know?
That's different.
All right, what do the Rockets need to do in the offseason? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe. Nope. ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
1976, D&M Leasing opened their doors with one mission, making a vehicle easier, smarter, and more affordable than buying it the old-fashioned way. 50 years later, that mission has not changed, but the reason that people come to D&M has only grown. If you're tired of negative equity, tired of wasting weekends at dealerships, or tired of paying too much for too little, give D&M a call at 713-290-1000 or visit them at dmautoleasing.com right now. When you do, you'll speak to a salesperson who's been there on average of 10 years. They'll teach you all you need to know about leasing a vehicle, and they'll be able to get you that vehicle within 24 to 72 hours. They'll bring it right to you, to your home, to your office, you're out at lunch, they'll take your trade-in vehicle as well. So if your payments are too high, you're stuck in negative equity, or you just want that smarter way to upgrade, call D&M at 713-290-1000 or visit dmautoleasing.com.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Everton has scored two goals in the second half in Liverpool, England. They now lead Man City 2-1.
Yikes.
We're on the Man City minus one there. I felt pretty good about that at the halftime.
Yeah.
And then Everton just came out of the tunnel at Hill Dickinson Stadium and is doing their thing. I think that was Kevin Durant's Twitter handle, wasn't it?
It was close to it, yeah.
Pretty close to it. Anyways, what do the Rockets need to do in the offseason, Joe?
I'm very much... And they have to make a major addition this offseason.
How are they going to do that, Joe?
Trade.
What do you have in mind, Joe?
I mean, Giannis to me is still the right guy.
You going full Rich Eisen here?
Yeah.
I'm going full Rich Eisen. He's my dear friend.
Yeah, Giannis is number one. Like, he's going to be available this offseason. You have the player capital, the draft pick capital to go after him. I don't think you're going to have to blow up this young core. Like, yes, you're next year, like, there are lottery picks that could work out in your favor that you're potentially giving up on. But at the end of the day, I think it's worth it. So, like to me, Giannis is number one. And if you can do it and find a way to keep two of the four of Amen, Reed, Alpi, and Jabari, I think it's totally worth it. So I think they have to go get a star because running it back, they're not winning anything.
Yeah, but I don't think they're winning anything, period, quite frankly.
Rafael Stone can talk all he wants about Reed Sheppard and Jabari Smith becoming elite shooters.
I think they can. I think they can.
Elite's a strong word.
But define elite. 40%?
Sure.
I mean, Jabari was, what, 37, 38 this year?
I think Jabari... I could see Jabari more than I can Reed.
Jabari was at 36% this year, up from 35.
Reed, I just struggle with, like, if he's not going to be a point guard, how he's going to handle getting open when teams are guarding him tough. Like, so maybe in the regular
season.
Depends
on I think your volume. I mean, Reed Sheppard shot 39% from three this year.
Did he? Was it really 39?
Yeah, 39.4. I mean, almost 40% if you round up.
So then maybe 40% is not good enough for elite.
Okay. That might be fair.
I think you have to make a change to your coaching staff.
Man, you're going big here.
Well, they're just going to run it back and be a top four seed and losing the first two rounds again. Like, congratulations! Like, Like, unless you just want to bank on next year's draft, which I don't know anything about college basketball, obviously.
I just don't know how you're going to just magically jump the Spurs and the Thunder no matter what you do. I really don't. Like, your idea in theory, like, I'm not opposed to your idea.
I think Giannis gives you the best chance.
Like, best case scenario, trade, you pick the two players. Best case scenario to, like, you're trying to build, like, let's just stack the deck for the Rockets.
Alpi and Reed.
All right, trade Alpi and Reed and your draft picks for Giannis. So your starting fives, Fred VanVleet. You said Alpi and Reed?
Yeah.
So Amin's probably going to be in the starting five. Kevin Durant will be in the starting five. Giannis will be in the starting five. And then Steven Adams, I guess?
I was thinking Jabari.
Okay, I forgot about Jabari.
Yeah, Jabari.
So
Jabari,
Adams is in your rotation.
Sure.
Tari, let's say you re-sign Tari or you're matching the offer for Tari. So he's in your rotation. Maybe you find a backup point guard. He's in your rotation. That's your starting five. Are you any closer to San Antonio or Oklahoma City?
I mean, I think you are, but to your point, I don't know if you're close enough to pass them.
Are you beating them in a 7-game series?
Probably not.
Yeah, maybe Wimby gets hurt and you get by them and you got Oklahoma City in the Western Conference Finals.
I mean, if Giannis is what Giannis can be, then you've got a shot because he still can be one of the best players in the NBA. Now, he has obviously major health concerns.
The other thing is, though, is that if you're not better and then almost immediately you have a long rebuild quickly in front of you. Like, Kevin Durant's going to retire in a couple of years. Giannis, how long is his shelf life going to be? What is your team going to look like if, you know, Durant's gone? And then you have, I mean, Fred VanVleet's kind of older. Steven Adams is getting a little long in the tooth. Like, the young players that you kept aren't really franchise guys. Like, Amin's not an offensive guy at all. Jabari's, like, I think more of a unicorn role player. So you're closer. I'll concede that. I don't think you're beating either team in a 7-game series, assuming health. And then I think that the teardown is imminent. Like, imminent might be too strong of a word, but a few years away from a total rebuild.
It's within sight.
Yeah, and I don't think you're going to be better in that window than Oklahoma City and or San Antonio. So I do think you're a better team. I do think that you're closer to them. I still don't think it gets you over the hump. So what's the goal? Is the goal to build the best roster that you possibly can, or is it to try to position yourself to win a title at some point over the next 10 years? For me, it's more about the latter than the former. So I'm going to kind of hedge here. To me, you need to be ready to strike either way. Like, I think you need to keep your head on a swivel as a general manager and locate value wherever it is. You know, maybe there's going to be, like, Kevin Durant, whenever you traded for him, there was value there because no one else wanted to, like, really trade for him. And Kevin Durant was kind of, you know, brokering where he was going to end up. If you can find value for a disgruntled star, okay, strike. Like, be ready to strike on that. But maybe it's the other way. Maybe the market's not there. I think the market's going to dictate what Rafael Stone has to do. Mm-hmm. So where if the market's real high on Giannis, if it's real high, I don't really like the idea of Kawhi, but if it's real high on Kawhi and like the offers that they're getting for them are more expensive than you want to give up, maybe it's three of those four players and then all your draft picks, then okay, you can't do that. Now, if you can get value there, you know, whereas maybe it's one of those guys and all the picks, that seems unlikely, but you get my drift here. If there's value there, then strike. But I also think you need to be ready to strike if there's value the other way. I'm not saying trade Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's your best scorer and gives you your best chance of having a decent offense to a good offense. But if somebody just like absolutely blows your brakes off for a Kevin Durant to where you can flip Kevin Durant, like he's basically like a rental, right? Where you have him for a year, you flip it like it's HGTV, and then you get a better package than you gave up. I think you also need to be ready to strike there. I'm not advocating for trading Kevin Durant, but I do think Rafael Stone needs to find where the value is at and be ready to strike wherever it is, whether it's big name hunting with a Giannis type or somebody else really good, or it's even trading the veteran Kevin Durant and helping this young core together. Now, I don't really think this young core is like good enough. Reed, Amin, Alpi, Tari, Jabari. Like, is that core foundation going to be good enough in their window, which is a pretty long window because they're young, to jump San Antonio or Oklahoma City?
Absolutely not.
So, like, what is the plan? Like, is the plan trying to jump them at some point over the next 10 years, or is it just trying to make your team as good as it can possibly be? For me, it's the former. For me, it's trying to give myself the best title chance I can over a 10-year window, or at least this young core's window, than it is to, you know, just go all in for a Giannis, because I don't think that it gets you over the top, and then the rebuild's here in 3 years.
Yeah, I'm more open to the Kawhi idea, because I just don't think the when you talk about value, like, I don't think he's going to be that demanded in the offseason. Like, I think you can probably trade one of these guys, and maybe it's the Phoenix pick, not the Brooklyn pick, in 27. Like, if you could find a way to trade Jabari and the Phoenix pick for Kawhi, like, yeah. I'm all in on that.
See, I really want to keep the picks, because I think that the best chance for you to jump Oklahoma City or San Antonio is kind of whenever they have to start paying players and some players have to like kind of get traded away.
Like Lou Dort's going to be probably casualty this year.
And then you have to hope that you hit on a lotto pick for a generational player. Because I don't think that any scenario, whether it's to trade Kevin Durant, whether it's to trade for Giannis, pushed you over the hump.
Is there?
I don't even think it gets you close to the hump.
Does Donovan Mitchell do anything for you?
I like Donovan Mitchell, and that's, again, like, if there's value there, if you can get him for, like, lower than what is expected, all right, then make that trade. But I'm not just making trades to make trades. Like, everybody wants, oh, they need to make all these big moves. For what? To be the third-best team in the Western Conference?
Yeah.
To be the distant third from Oklahoma City and San Antonio? So I think that's where you need to try to find value no matter what side it's on. Maybe it is a Kevin Durant trade. Somebody's like, oh, we need a score in the worst way to push us over the top because we're desperate to, you know, be a playoff team. All right, well, listen. Yeah, turn over every stone on Giannis or Donovan Mitchell, whoever the player is. I think they're probably going to settle in the middle and probably not do much because there's probably not going to be value either way. And you're looking at a run it back with, you know, hoping for health. And then you're going to do your, you know, your second, third move where you're trading for somebody who can help you off the bench, something like that.
Yeah. You're like, you know, getting rid of DFS, however it takes, and then finding an adequate backup point guard.
I mean, what does that look like though? What is getting rid of Dorian Finney-Smith with whatever it takes?
Attaching seconds.
I mean, if I'm the team that you're trying to trade that to, I don't want that.
Because he's locked in, right? I think for the next 2 years.
He has the club option after next year.
So then it's just a team that's bad. That's willing to take on second round picks that has, like, they're saying the value of the second picks is worth the bad contract for you.
They'll probably try to dump out of it.
Like, I think about some of the guys we talked about around the deadline that are going to be free agents this year, you know, the Kobe Whites of the world, like, could you go out and sign him on a cheap contract and free agency to add some depth to this roster? Because that, to me, is one of the biggest things. If you're going to run it back, you have to add depth-wise. Like there was no scoring off the bench in the playoffs. Like, it was so obvious that if your 1-5 wasn't going, which was most of these games, that you had no other options. You didn't have a pivot ever in a game for Ime Udoka to even have a chance to turn to. Like, you're turning to Aaron Holiday and Jayshon Tate and DFS in playoff games. Those guys shouldn't ever touch the court in a playoff game on any team in the NBA. So, like, there are a bunch of different ways they can go. I'm open to the Kevin Durant conversation. So I guess you're looking for, like, a Dylan Brooks adjacent player to come in and just be, like, a really good role player that can shoot the ball well.
No, I think you'd be looking for a scorer.
Maybe they could be a scorer, but, like, you're not getting a quality young player, even though we all know what Jalen Green was. Like, the Suns had hope for him, but, like, I don't think you're even getting that. Moody Kevin Durant. I think people are going to be done with him, to be honest with you. I don't think he's going to have a market this year.
I think people overrate the whole Moody Kevin Durant thing. Like, these are grown men. Like, oh my goodness, Kevin Durant's in a bad mood. I'm going to go over here and tuck my tail in the corner.
It's just like every team he goes on, like they seem to underachieve.
It's like you guys have never dealt with moody men before.
3-6 every Monday through Friday.
That's Moody Man. I'm not Moody.
See, Brian handles it well. You think Brian's turtling up and, like, sucking at basketball because he's dealing with a moody man? Of course
no,
he's
not. If I'm Detroit, why am I, like, even risking it at this point? Like, you just see it blow up in the Rockets' face a little bit.
No, it didn't. They won just as many games as they did last year. How did it blow up in their face? Because there was some Twitter burner that's talking bad about the players. Grow up.
I agree with you, but, like, that's not the NBA.
I don't think these that Al Bichengoon was the worst player because Kevin Durant sent some texts to buddies.
These guys are all soft, man. Like,
but what? Where did you see that on the court?
I don't think you see it on the court.
Yeah, I think it's much ado about nothing.
I just don't know what his market's going to be. Like, I just don't know if I'm a front office.
Which is
like,
fair. Yeah, which,
like,
is fair.
If I'm another front office, like, it's just like, is it worth? Is it worth the risk?
That's why. Look, if there's not value there, then you keep Kevin Durant.
Yeah, like, I don't. I'm not like. Yeah, I lean more towards keeping him, but I do think you're right. Where you just have to be kind of open to everything. But so at the very beginning, then it's probably fire half your coaching staff, and improve there.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN. The Junkies have thoughts. Rafael Stone had some thoughts on the season, too. We'll get to those in a little second as well. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
Great time to go to Twin Peaks right now. All the playoff games going on, even though the Rockets season is over. You can watch baseball there, NFL games when it's back, college football. It's all there, UFC boxing. But today and tomorrow, spice up your Cinco de Mayo. They've got cheap shots. Jose Cuervo, Devil's Reserve for $3.99. The Jose Cuervo Traditional Blanco for $3.99. Baller shots like Mexican Candy for $5.50. Margaritas for $9.50. Tons of great deals happening right now at Twin Peaks. Plus, you got all the TVs to watch all the games, the great handcrafted food and cocktails that you can get whenever you go to Twin Peaks, that rustic sports lodge experience that you can only get right there. Check them out right now for all your Twin Peaks deals for Cinco de Mayo and just to watch all your games Monday through Friday on the weekends as well. They do event parties. Go to Twin Peaks right now. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
Back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Yeah, you got me. You get me, 1970. You get me. Not improving from last year and still losing the first round is kind of blowing up in the Rockets' face. He, Durant, was brought in to get them over the hump and didn't do anything remotely close to that, Eric the Buyer. But yeah, but those expectations were poor. Like, thinking that Kevin Durant was going to make you better than Oklahoma City was fool's gold. Like, that was a fool's errand. And then you lose two critical players in your rotation. Why did you have any expectation for this team? That's on you. That's on you. I think a Jalen Green player is a dime a dozen. Yeah, he's going to get an extension. He's going to make money. You can find scorers who are inefficient that give you 18 a game all the time. Dylan Brooks is more valuable than Jalen Green, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's what you lost in that deal.
And the 10th pick. But the 10th pick didn't really amount to much. I'd love to have a top 10 pick this year, though.
No, I mean, Dylan Brooks is like, you look at what happened in Memphis. As soon as they got rid of him and he came here and how different the seasons went. And then he leaves and goes to Phoenix. Like, he's a culture setter. He's a very underrated basketball player
at this point. I think he's really underrated.
He's a good shooter, and he's an excellent defender.
Yeah. Also, don't understand why we're, like, just all of a sudden crapping on the leading score of a 52-win team, though. Like, they have 52 wins, matches last season's win total, and they had serious injuries this year.
I think Kevin Durant's getting the blame because Rockets fans are attached to the prospects.
Prospects of Jalen Green?
No, of the guys who are currently on the roster. And like, they don't want to blame them.
That's fair.
For the fault of this
team. He's kind of the fall guy.
Yeah, they're taking their frustration out on KD and saying, "See, you bring in KD here, it falls apart."
Like, did y'all see what the Rockets offense looked like in game 6? Did y'all watch that game? Like, how do you watch that game and be like, "Yeah, our leading scorer is the reason we suck." Come on. Come on. Kevin Durant is still a freak show of a scorer. And then, it's NBA, so it's gossip, and it's storyline, and it's this, like, highlight culture to where everybody's like, oh, it's the Burners, the reason that they lost. You know, the reason that they lost because they had injuries. Were they going to beat OKC? No. Were they going to get past the second round if they were healthy? No. If the Burners stuff didn't happen, are they beating LA? No. They weren't as good as we all thought they were going to be and didn't go further than they did last year because Kevin Durant didn't play most of the postseason. Mm. Fred VanVleet didn't play a single game all year, and Steven Adams didn't play like the last 50 games of the season. That, more than any other storyline that you guys want to create or clickbait, and I'm talking to some national writers here, is the reason that they didn't get past the first round. They were never getting by OKC. If you thought the moment that they traded for Kevin Durant, that was with Fred VanVleet and Adams and Durant and Jabari and Amin and Şengün, that they were better than OKC, that's on you. They were never better than OKC.
I totally agree with you. The problem is I don't know how you can do anything this offseason to get better than them next year.
Losing Steven Adams was way worse than losing Jalen Green. Agreed.
Yes.
Agreed. You know, their offensive rebounding percentage was like 45% with Steven Adams. You know, it dropped to like 32% without Steven Adams.
They're still towards the top of the NBA, too, without him, I think.
But I think that also calculates the whole season.
Oh,
so you play 30 games with Steven Adams. I'd like to see games 31 through 82.
Yeah.
Like, that would be the better, you know, side-by-side comparison. How can you say KD didn't affect the chemistry of the team? The team looked dysfunctional. Because they looked dysfunctional before the burners. What are you talking about?
Yeah, they looked just as bad before January as they did after.
The offense always looked dysfunctional. How many wins Fred VanVleet worth? I don't know, two. the Rockets can't score, plain and simple. Agreed. That is far bigger of a reason than some idiotic burners. Like, imagine if KD wasn't on this team, how bad the offense would look. The Rockets are not as good as the Celtics, and the Celtics didn't make it through the first round either. Different conferences, but I see your point. Stone,
they got their own problems.
Yeah. Stone really missed on the KD situation. IMO, Rockets are not a Fred VanVleet away. I would agree. They need a ball handler and another playmaker. I like the idea of adding Spida. Yeah, I agree with that text. I think that's it depends on what you're trading for Spida. Like, that's the other thing. Oh, they should trade for Giannis. Okay, what does the package look like? Mm-hmm. Like, I need to see what the package looks like before I sign off on that. Like Pete says, trade Şengün and Shepherd plus picks for Giannis. Are they doing that?
I honestly don't think they will. I think they're going to stand pat. Like, I think they're going to make marginal moves this offseason and try to build towards
the future. Don't think they'll trade Giannis?
Oh, I'm talking about the Rockets.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, no, Giannis is getting traded this offseason.
What would put the Rockets ahead of OKC and San Antonio, hitting in the draft pick in 5 years, hitting in the draft lottery in 5 years?
Yeah, in 2029, they have a bunch of lottery picks. I think they have
Phoenix and Brooklyn's,
and it's like two of the best three, including their own.
Dallas, I think, is in the mix there.
Yeah, Dallas. Yeah, it's like it's Phoenix, Brooklyn, Dallas, I believe, and they get the top two.
Yeah, they need to hope that they hit the number one pick in that draft, and he's Wembanyama.
Yeah,
or he's Cooper Flagg. Like, that's what's going to push them over the top, as you hope that their window is starting to close. Because this current window, where OKC and San Antonio are so dominant, there's nothing the Rockets can do. Quite frankly,
like, I think
do we think there's anything the Rockets can do?
Not at this moment. Like, you need a superstar that at this moment is not currently demanding a trade to demand a trade.
It's got
to
be what, like 5 years away. I mean, things happen fast in sports. Maybe five is too much, but maybe it's like,
I mean, who knows? Like, we'll see. Like, I'm curious what the fallout is with Boston here. Like, I don't love the idea of Jaylen Brown at the moment.
Yeah, but what are you adding from Boston that makes you better than OKC? This is the bigger point of this. Yeah, that doesn't make you better than OKC.
But I think you can compete with OKC.
I completely disagree.
You don't think so?
No. Jaylen Brown for what?
Probably be similar to the Giannis deal.
No.
You think it would cost like three of the players?
No. I'm not saying that it would be more expensive. I'm saying Jaylen Brown added to the Rockets doesn't make you in the same stratosphere as Oklahoma City.
It puts you closer?
I mean, sure. You're still losing in five or six games in a seven-game series.
But at least he's younger.
I mean, Kent, then who?
Then Giannis.
Yeah, probably.
Like, as like a building block future, like. But, I mean.
Like, how old is he? He's got to be in his late 20s.
Yeah, I guess it's been like 6 or 7 years since he came to the league at this point.
He's got to be in his late 20s. He was playing in his... No, he's going to be 30 next season. He's 2 years younger than Giannis. Jaylen Brown does not put you... I don't know if he puts you anywhere closer to OKC. That's the thing, though. That's the struggle the Rockets are in. Like, that's the Stone predicament. And Stone said today that they had a disappointing season. He said, I think the season was frustrating and disappointing. We expected to win more games in the regular season than we did, and we expected to win more games in the playoffs than we did. So he's calling the season a disappointment, quite frankly. Okay, I admire that. He probably realizes he needed a point guard even before Fred VanVleet got hurt. Speaking of that, Junkie says he's in the contract up for what seems to be the greatest point guard ever, Fred VanVleet. He's got a player option, which they're saying he could either opt in or opt out, actually, and look for a longer-term deal again. So that's cool.
That would be a plot twist.
Yeah. Trade is a net negative because you still don't have a backup point guard. You could have signed that, though. That was the failure, not the trade. Branham still has more burner accounts than Kevin Durant, says a Junkie. I agree with Lance. Get rid of KD. I'd like to hear Lance's thoughts on that. I got to hope the Jazz land in the 5-7 range. They're going to be way higher on Reed Shepard than anyone else. Because why? Is that why you're saying that? Because he's white?
I think that's what they're saying.
I would trade Reed Shepard for his top 7 pick right now.
Absolutely.
Batting an eye.
Would you attach one of the 27 picks to it? Because he's not worth the top 7 pick.
See, I don't want to trade lotto picks because I think that's how the Rockets have to get better.
But see, I think this lottery's good enough. This draft is good enough to where I'd say...
Yeah. I mean, if you could protect it, like if you could top 5 protect it or something like that, okay, yeah. I'm on board. That's what I would need, quite frankly, because I would hate to trade Reed and that 27 pick, and then all of a sudden you win the lottery that year and you have like a freak. Yeah. So I would probably want a top 4 protect it.
The hard part about that is that we just don't even, like with this new lottery thing, it's just, it's hard to know.
Well, you know the percentages.
Well, but like, because if Brooklyn's one of the worst three teams in the NBA, the percentages are worse. than being 4 through 10.
Yeah.
So it's just such a strange.
Yeah, it's a weird
situation.
Yeah,
like it's just totally different going into next offseason.
It is.
But yeah, if I don't even know if you're allowed to do that. Honestly, add protections to a pick that's not yours.
Sure, you could.
If you can do
that's
that.
That's a good question, though. I don't know for sure. I think you would be able to.
I would think you could because you own the rights to it. You'd be able to do whatever you want with it. Like with 29, how you're able to give Brooklyn a certain pick depending on how the way things
fall. I think you can, but it wouldn't shock me if you're not. Good point.
It's all confusing. But, yeah, I mean, if they could find a way to – even I don't think they need to protect the pick. Like, I like enough in this draft where –
yeah, it's dangerous.
If – so you're telling me, if it was, what about King? Like, you wouldn't trade Reed in the Suns lottery pick or the Brooklyn lottery pick for Kingston Flemons?
I want a top four protection. Yeah. I don't want to lose a top three pick.
I'm such a bird in the hand. Like, I know what he is. I don't watch high school basketball. So I just don't know, like, what any of the next year's draft looks like.
Well, I have no idea what the draft class looks like in 2027. I don't want to trade a top four pick and Reed Sheppard for a top seven pick.
That's fair.
Trade Alpi for 28 picks. I just hate watching him play. Fair. According to Jeremy, we should just tank and rebuild now. Not what I said. Rockets, the only team in NBA history to run out a roster without a point guard. If there's nothing they can do, stay put. I think ultimately that's what they do. 713-780 ESPN. If your offensive strategy is hope Steven Adams gets an offensive rebound, you have major issues.
I agree.
I disagree. I mean, offensive rebounding is part of the game.
Yeah, but...
he's one of the greatest offensive rebounders to ever play the game. Like, agreed. You're going to miss shots in the NBA. The best teams in the NBA shoot what? 50%, 48%?
Yeah. It's just in the playoffs.
You're going to miss half of your shots or more.
I know, but they just need guys that can actually shoot.
No, yes, 100% agree. 100% agree. I'm not suggesting that's not the case. I'm not like, hey, put out, seven bricklayers and Steven Adams. Yes, add as many shooters as you can. But to act like Steven Adams doesn't help your offense because he's a great offensive rebounder is foolish.
No, he does. To the Texas point, I think it feels like that's the strategy. It's just like, well, we're just going to rely on offensive rebounds and easy layups and things like that off the offensive rebounds, not just having guys that are skilled shooting or making shots anywhere.
What kind of argument is that? You're wrong for believing the Rockets could do anything after trading for a guy whose entire purpose was to help the team in the playoffs. I think you're setting the expectations up for failure. That's what I think. I don't think the Rockets were ever as good as Oklahoma City, even though they made the Kevin Durant trade, which I think made them better. They had injuries. They had struggles. I don't think they're ever beating OKC in a seven. I don't see them ever beating OKC. Like, the rest of this decade, I don't see them beating OKC if they're healthy. Sorry. I don't. All right. 713-780-ESPN. We'll save these high, this other stuff later. Let's do some Astros. Good, bad, ugly. What's the good? What's the bad? What's the ugly from the Astros weekend? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.